there are a lot of confusing terms out there. I think it's important to think about how we use these terms and try to use them meaningfully and consistently if possible. I think promising practices is an especially important term to be thinking about and to be using, because not everything out there is necessarily identified as an evidence-based practice. I think sometimes we slip into a way of thinking where we think of things as evidence-based practices and everything else. We think if I'm a good educator, I'm trying to do good things for my students, I want to only use evidence-based practices. And it would be the rare day, I think, where you could go through an entire day of teaching and use only evidence-based practices. We have to think of ways to prioritize non-evidence-based practices and not think of them as all the same. There's at least a few reasons why practices might be non-evidence-based. We might not have a formal review done where we've definitively determined that this is an evidence-based practice. There could be research out there that does indicate its effectiveness, but it's just not been reviewed and formally identified as an evidence-based practice by a scholarly journal or by the What Works Clearinghouse or some of these different systems or organizations that do that kind of work. There's probably quite a few different things out there that are supported by research but aren't identified as evidence-based, just because evidence-based reviews take a lot of time and effort to do. And I think probably the most common reason why effective practices aren't identified yet as evidence-based is that there's not a body of high-quality research done on a lot of practices. Every evidence-based practice at some point started off as a non-evidence-based practice that we didn't have enough research out yet to tell whether it was evidence-based. And so just because something's not evidence-based doesn't necessarily mean that it's ineffective. So when we have some research evidence that something works and we can consider it promising, that's important to know. And it's when we should prioritize evidence-based practices first. But if we don't identify any relevant evidence-based practices, or the one or two evidence-based practices that we did identify ended up not working for particular students, then promising practices are a very good next step that we can go to instead of just saying, well, I have no idea what to do next. The other reason that something might not be identified as an evidence-based practice is that we have good research that show that it doesn't produce meaningful positive effects, or that it actually does harm. We don't want to use that. That obviously wouldn't be a promising practice. We don't have enough evidence-based practices to address every situation for every learner. We're going to have to go down to kind of a next level, which are promising practices. And I think that's okay.